And junior church is dismissed. This afternoon, while they're leaving for junior church, this afternoon after communion, I'm going to ask a question. Is it a Christian's duty to vote? You hear that in a lot of pulpits. Well, we'll talk about that in the afternoon service afterward. But for now, something happened last Tuesday, didn't it? So, we praise God. His will is done in the United States. We prayed. We fasted. We voted as we were led by God. We have an answer. Donald Trump is our new president. The Republicans control the House. The Republicans control the Senate. Praying, we voted as we felt led to. Now, I felt strongly led to vote for Daryl Castle as a rebuke to the pastors who defended the same sins in Donald Trump that they castigated Bill Clinton for. Others, like Mary and some other people here, ended up voting for Donald Trump because they looked at the possibility of maybe having the Supreme Court give us religious freedom and put pro-life judges on, more conservative judges. Others, looking at the fact that there were no godly candidates to vote for, stayed home. Well, God working his will, leading each individual, each world event, each thing happened out there, each new scandal on both sides, worked his will to ensure he put the leaders in that he desired. The question is for us as priests, now what? Again, I'm going a little bit out of order because of that little minor event we had last Tuesday. Next week, we're going to discuss our position as priests as compared with our condition. This week, we will see how we should interact with the world as the priests under Jesus Christ. We saw last week, God does choose our leaders. Once again, he worked events to provide Trump and the other candidates their victories. They will rule the physical kingdom as ordained by God. We are to rule as under-shepherds in the spiritual kingdom under the hierarchy that God's given us. We render unto Caesar the things of Caesar. We render under God the things that are God's. Obeying God's leaders in the physical kingdom until they violate the laws in the spiritual kingdom. Showing respect to the physical kingdom's rulers that they won't be repulsed by the spiritual kingdom. Let us look at how to be priestly ambassadors in a foreign physical kingdom. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 20. Some verses, I will tell you, are hard to do quite often. But 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at the results of this election. We are thankful that your will is done. We are thankful that you have placed the leaders that you would place, that you are will bring this country to have your perfect will done in this world in all eternity. We know, Lord, that the world is going to become more ungodly. Whether that's how it happened this time, we don't know. But we know, Lord, that your will is done. You know the end from the beginning. And, Lord, we are here to honor those people that you put in office. We are here to teach the people you put in office your ways, that they may humble themselves in front of you or lead this country to judgment, if that is your will. And Lord, let us know exactly what we are to do as priests under the Lord Jesus Christ. Guide us, direct us, allow us to be humble servants of Jesus Christ, that we may put to silence the foolishness of men in this world, and we may show that your way is the way of peace, your way is the way of love, and there is no other way. And Lord, let us learn how to submit as we should, first of all to you, and second of all to the rulers you put over us. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, Christians in Rome were Rome's best citizens. Christians in Rome obeyed the laws. They paid taxes. They helped each other. People saw something different. And then they were unjustly accused by Nero of burning Rome. At that time, Rome started a huge persecution against Christians. Put them in lion's den. Put them in the Colosseum. And at first, the people cheered wildly. But there was something different about these Christians. They didn't cry. They didn't scream. They didn't demand their rights. And the people started asking, what is it about these Christians that are so different? And despite the huge persecutions, Christianity spread. Christians put to silence the foolish rulers of Rome. Why? Because they submitted to him when there was absolutely no reason to, except that God wanted them to. Our lives should be the same today. As verse 15 says, let's put to silence foolish men. They were foolish in Rome, they're foolish today. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, let all things be done decently and in order. This is true in his spiritual kingdom on earth, controlled by his church, with Jesus Christ as the head. It's also true in the world's carnal kingdom. God has ordained government to provide that order, to make it so things are done decently and in order. Without government, we would have anarchy. We need government to protect our borders, protect our property rights, provide needed services, and punish evildoers that law-abiding citizens may be more comfortable. All authority must be obeyed, prayed for, and supported by Christians. They're men. They're fallible. But God has ordained them to be our leaders, and we are to submit ourselves to them. With Donald Trump as president in the carnal world, I will obey, support, and pray for him. Had Hillary Clinton won, I would obey, support, and pray for her. Why? Because that's the will of God. Would it have been my choice? No, it wouldn't have been. But God would have placed her there for a reason, for his own reason. As priests, we are citizens of the spiritual kingdom. Ambassadors to the physical, we need to do three things. We need to submit to God's order. We need to live as spiritual ambassadors. And we need to let God judge. So first of all, submitting to God's order. Looking at a companion piece, what Paul wrote to say the exact same thing Peter did, turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Very familiar verses. You've heard them here before. Romans 13, starting in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom, to who custom, fear, to who fear, honor, to whom honor. Once again, Paul is writing on the same subject. We follow leaders not because we agree with their view, but because they work for God. God has placed them. They may not understand they work for God, but they do. They have been placed there. They are to provide decent order for us, and they will be judged by God, not us. Government is a gift of God. Without it, Chaos and anarchy would result. Ferguson and Missouri and Baltimore would be everyday occurrences. And I saw it. How many people saw what was happening in Portland, Oregon with the riots? Guess what? I was there. My co-pilot was woken up by the flashbangs out there. I slept through it. God gave me peace. But there were broken windows when we woke up. The riots were there. So that happens. Without government, without people, and Portland has very poor leadership, without that kind of leadership, that would be an everyday occurrence. Government holds that kind of thing down. Some people use that liberty that we have for cloak of malicious, as it says, sinning as grace covers it. They would think that what happened in Portland was all right because God would cover it. But Paul says in Romans 6, 1-2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But James 1:25 talks of the law of liberty. That's what we follow now. It is a law. It's not the law of the Old Testament, which can't justify nobody. We follow the law of liberty, following what Jesus Christ tells us to, following the hierarchy he puts in place that we can then show others how to put to silence foolish men. Freed from sin, we now follow God's commandments, choosing to be holy as he's holy, following him joyfully because he freed us, like a slave girl that Lincoln saved. Freed. There's an old story that Abraham Lincoln went down to the slave block to buy a slave girl. As she looked at the white man bidding on her, she figured he was just another white man going to buy her and then abuse her. He won the bid. And as he was walking away with his property, he said, "Young lady, you are free." She said, "What does that mean?" "It means you are free." "Does this mean," she said, "that I can say whatever I want to say?" Lincoln said, "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" Lincoln said, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean that I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you may go wherever you want to go." The girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, "Then I will go with you." He recognized something different in him. He recognized that she had been freed by this man, and with no other place to go after that, followed the man who had been so gracious to her. That's what we do. We're freed from sin. We're freed from sin. Being freed from sin, we then choose to follow Jesus Christ. We choose to be with him. Powers ordained by leaders are powers to be obeyed in this physical world. In a spiritual world, we follow Jesus Christ. He teaches us what to do in the physical. As Paul showed us when dealing with worldly superiors in Acts 23, 1-5, he's called in front of the council. The council does not like Paul because Paul is now preaching Jesus Christ, whom they hated. Well, one man came and slapped him in the face. Paul there immediately accused him in front of God and reviled him. He was asked, "Do you revile the high priest?" Paul repented. Paul asked forgiveness because he didn't know it was the high priest. He gave respect to that high priest who did not deserve it. Why? Because it was part of the power that God had placed, and God would judge that high priest, not Paul. Paul also showed respect to Festus, Agrippa, and other Roman dignities. Peter also talks of Paul's prophets in 2 Peter 2, 1-22, who despised governments and were not afraid to speak evil of dignities. We don't speak evil of any person there because God has placed them there. Do we point out their sin? We'll see in a little bit. Yes, we do. We show them how to live spiritual. We hold them accountable when they fall apart from the Bible. But we don't speak evil of them because that's God's job. We don't judge. He does. As God chooses leaders to provide order in the physical realm, we are to obey them in the physical realm. You don't choose to which laws to obey. You obey all of them. Just as in a job. When you're hired by a job, the boss will lay out exactly what you're supposed to do, how he expects you to do it. You say, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to do it this way. I'll do it a different way." You'll be looking for another job pretty soon. If you try to do that with the law, same thing. You don't choose the laws that you choose to obey because you'll be thrown in jail because, well, that might be a dumb law, but it is the law, and we as Christians are supposed to follow them. Leaders in this world work for God and will be held accountable by him. Our job is not to judge, but obey. Proverbs 16:12 says, "It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established in righteousness." We honor the king because he's placed by God. But once again, the king doesn't answer to us. The king works for God. He's a hierarchy over us. God is his boss. He will judge him. Even in the United States of America, we vote him in. But as we saw last week, God is the one that places him. God is the one that establishes him. Daniel worked for four evil kings, and by his witness softened their hatred of God and God's people. Thrown in the lion's den, coming out, he said, "O king, live forever." This was a pagan king with pagan practices that attacked God's people. But Daniel knew that they were placed there for a reason. They were placed by God to judge Israel. Therefore, Daniel served those kings because God had Daniel in that place to do exactly that. If God gives us pagan kings, we need to serve them just like Daniel did. So why do we do this? Well, we do this because we're not part of this physical world. I have a piece of paper that says I'm a citizen of the United States. But actually, I've emigrated. I'm actually a citizen of heaven. I have a spiritual kingdom I serve, not the physical. So we are to live as spiritual ambassadors. We know we are called to obey man's laws, but we disobey when they cross God's laws. That's a tough dividing line. Where do we draw that line? We remember we are ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ, sojourning here in fear. Not kings and leaders of ourselves. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Sacrificing for the kingdom as we call for more aliens to emigrate with us and join the new spiritual kingdom. We are priests in this world, but yet not of the world. We obey traffic laws in the United States of America, but we refuse detours that will take us off the way, the truth, and life. We follow all laws in the physical world as long as they stay in their ordained realm. Government was designed to control the physical order of the world. When the governments decide to go into the spiritual, that is when we disobey. As long as they stay physical, we might not like the laws, but we obey them. As soon as they cross the line, that's when we disobey. We use the Bible as a guide to tell when we do that. Peter and John show this when the council tried to make them stop preaching in the name of Jesus. In Acts 5:30, they said, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. We obey rulers in the carnal world as this is obeying God.' If they step into the spiritual world, we cannot disobey God, so we disobey them." Jesus himself obeyed man's laws. Think about how he was born. He was born as a result of a census to pay taxes. He was born under the authority of the Roman Empire. He continued to pay tribute as a subject to man's kingdom. Looking at Caesar's image on a coin in Matthew 22:21, he said this, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God." Caesar had control of the physical realm. God had ordained him to do exactly that. Jesus has control of the spiritual realm. We give Jesus all honor and glory for the spiritual side. Now in the military, and those of you in the military know this, we were to obey unquestioningly the laws of our commanders unless they were illegal, unlawful. If they went against military order, we were to refuse. Guess what? There's a cost to that. There's a heavy cost. And it's hard to determine sometimes when you refuse an unlawful order from a superior. In our kingdom, men refuse to come to the light because they prefer darkness. As priests, we reflect that light. So guess what? We are hated by the world. Never been easy, but we must obey. Not going to go there, but Hebrews 11:33-39 shows in the Old Testament the saints what happened. It has two different sections. One of the ones that were sawn asunder, torn apart by horses, burned, all kinds of things, martyred for the cause of God. The other side showed the miracles about how people were raised from the dead and things like that. What was the common denominator in both of them? They obeyed. Sometimes they were glorified, sometimes they were martyred. But all of them obeyed because it was in the spiritual realm and they were called to do that. And the resurrection would be that much better for it, and they had the grace to go through it. Our king is Jesus Christ. The kings of the earth serve at his pleasure and were answered to him, even if they don't know it. We serve them as they are servants of God. We honor them as they have been placed by God. The best thing we can do to honor them is pray for them. That is the number one job we have as priests on this earth. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1-3. Praying for Hillary's success would have been very tough, but that's beside the point. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, I've led a lot of people to the Lord, especially in jail ministry. I have saved nobody. I can't save a king. I can't see Nebuchadnezzar be saved. I can't see all that. But I can pray for him. And by praying for him, I can have God soften their hearts. And one or two things may happen out of that. Maybe first of all, they'll get saved. Maybe they'll bow their knee, ask God for wisdom, in which case the country will be blessed. Maybe that won't happen. But maybe they'll see there's no point in attacking the church and let us worship in freedom. I don't know what the answer would be. But I pray for my leaders because God tells me to. I honor my leaders because God tells me to. Not because I necessarily like them. Pray that they follow God and will allow us to worship in peace. So, the last thing we need to do is let God judge. What is it we're supposed to do? Let God be the judge of that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us our labor is not in vain. If we refuse to obey a king's unlawful order, we may suffer greatly. But we see that today, suffering wrongly is thankworthy. Our Christ wrongly suffered for us, did he not? He was made sin. He had no sin, and yet he died on the cross for me. He suffered greatly and wrongly. Is it too much to ask that I might suffer just a little bit of pain in this world as he's given me so much in the next? We partake in his suffering that we may eventually be glorified together with him at the last trump. As today's kings arrest us, guess what? We're going to be persecuted more and more. We may end up facing jail. We may end up even facing martyrdom. I don't know. I can't answer that question. God knows the answer. I don't. But God's will is going to be done. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 to 28. Looking at the future right now. So Matthew 10, verses 18 to 28. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We fear the kings in this world and obey, but we disobey if they tell us to go against the King of Kings, whom they work for even if they don't know it. We fear him far more. No, it's been intimated by some people that I might have a slightly heavy right foot. And I might go just a little bit fast. Well, if I do this, and I pass a car, and some person with a uniform decides he wants to fellowship with me for a while, pulls me over, talks to me for a bit, and hands me a sheet of paper commemorating that visit, well, I'm going to pay the ticket. I'm going to take it patiently because I violated man's laws. But we see that there is no glory in that. I take it patiently. I don't complain. But there's no glory in that. I'm getting exactly what I deserve because I've violated man's laws. If I violate If the state violates God's laws and I refuse to obey there, that's where glory comes in. Because there is where I'm glorifying Jesus Christ. There is where I am then showing that I put the King of Kings over the king, and I have no fear of the king because I know the King of Kings is all powerful. So, if we violate a law for conscience' sake, that's thankworthy. There's glory in that. God is glorified and will be rewarded. If you do something to violate man's laws and you get to have that little sheet of paper and you pay a ticket, there's no glory in that. Take it patiently and move on. And ask the state for forgiveness from it. As we get closer, the world will look more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. It looks like Sodom and Gomorrah now. I'm amazed. It's going to get worse, folks, not better. The world will even consider it wise to kill us. It says that in the Bible. They will consider coexist wise and teach itself doctrines of devils. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Look at the colleges today. Look at the schools. Look at the government. Look at most churches today. Do they not look foolish? They're not following God's law. They look foolish. Patiently take suffering from these institutions that you will hear, well done, at the Bema seat. Let us obey the carnal king. Many of those carnal kings make me angry. But Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Jesus Christ silently, patiently took everything for my sin. I'm to do exactly what he tells me to do. If I patiently take an unjust beating, an unjust punishment from a king, that's thankworthy. That judge, as a servant of Jesus Christ, will stand in front of him and have Jesus ask, why did you do that to George Barber? Why did you do that to Tom Wilt? Why did you do that to Kathy Chase? He'll have to answer for that, and he won't have a good one. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Trust me, God can do far more than I could ever do to that person. Kings work for Jesus, obey him in this world. Kings are accountable to Jesus, not us. We serve Jesus by obeying the kings that he placed over us. So, the whole thing is, what is a priest to do in this world? Remember, we are ambassadors. We're not kings, we're ambassadors. An ambassador does not try to change the laws, but he doesn't demand the laws be changed for his sake. He has to live under those laws. Ambassadors don't become governors. Ambassadors don't become kings. Our job is to obey God. Now, you know that I didn't personally prefer Donald Trump, but I will serve, pray, and honor him just as I would have done if Hillary Clinton had been elected. We need to do the same thing with our representatives, senators, governors, mayors, and others who are placed in authority over us. Have a horrible boss and want a better one? Pray for the one you have. Do you want to continue to work for God in this particular church building? How many people want to see this church building grow? Well, if you're going to do that, you need to do exactly what Paul said in Timothy. You need to pray for our leaders. We pray for those authorities so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, as a priest, you are to be holy. Being holy, you become righteous. As a righteous man, pray. It will avail much. What that much is, I don't know. It's doing God's will. But have God's will be done through you. He uses you as the tool if you're holy and you allow him to do it for his glory. We're often concerned about what's going on in this world. Worried, we try to use our skills or excellent oratory to improve this carnal world. Now, I want to ask you, was it ever done by any saint in the Bible? Did any saint in the Bible ever use politics to try to improve the world? I can't find it anywhere. The saints served God, focused on God, and obeyed God by obeying the kings if they stayed within the ordained realm. As long as they were covering the physical world, they were obeyed. If they snuck into the spiritual world, tried to usurp God's authority, that's when they were disobeyed. Donald Trump is our president, claiming to be pro-life. Our senators are liberals. They're for abortion and against God's order in almost every way. Guess what? I'm going to honor all of them. I'm going to obey all of them as long as they stay in the physical realm. and I'm only going to disobey when they leave the physical realm and try to usurp God's authority in the spiritual. Nathan told David, "Thou art the man." If a leader sins to the spiritual detriment of the country, we are given leave to be those Nathans, to tell him, "Thou art the man," to tell him, "You have left God's blessings, you will suffer for it." That's our job. Our job is not to try to be the king. Our job is to warn the king. Now, there might be people here who are called to be presidents and things like that. That's fine. But you need to be called for it. Don't disobey and rebel just because you're not seeing laws that you'd like to see passed. We may use God's word and let them know they may repent and serve God to receive God's blessing. And guess what? They may become a Nebuchadnezzar. We may see Donald Trump become gloriously saved as he claims to be. We may see Donald Trump go to his knees. We may see Donald Trump doing the things that Nebuchadnezzar did, honoring God and being blessed by it. But it's going to be God's people in the churches praying for him that will bring that about. Daniel served pagan kings far worse than Donald Trump, maybe even far worse than Hillary Clinton. Daniel suffered unjustly for it. He went to the lion's den. Why did he go to the lion's den? Because he prayed to God. He disobeyed the physical, the king in the physical realm because he tried to usurp the authority of the spiritual realm. It was a trick, but it was a situation where he was thrown in the lion's den. Let's look at a godly man who honored and loved all men for an example of how we should live under the authority of God, ungodly men. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to close with this. Chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. So Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Now, if you want to see politics, raw politics, that starts in verse 5. We see raps of raw politics here. "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever.' And the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign a writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." He's gone into the spiritual. Now look how Daniel operated. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. We all know the story of what happened after that. We see the politics, working together laws, working together things. And what happened? They used the laws to make this happen. Now, the king did not want to do this, but the law was passed. Basically, he went to the Supreme Court, the equivalent of what the Supreme Court would be. The Supreme Court didn't give him any grace. He had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. It was an unjust thing. He let his pride get in his way of his thinking. Well, what happened? Patiently, Daniel was unjustly accused. Patiently, he was sentenced to the lion's den. Patiently, he ended up petting the lions all night. And patiently, the next morning, he said, "O king, live forever." And then patiently, he saw his enemies get the vengeance that was deserved for their unfair attacks. Now, Daniel didn't know that was going to happen beforehand. Daniel let God deal with everything. Those people that attacked him gave the lions the meal that they were cheated from when Daniel didn't get eaten by them. Let us learn to be patient and obey leaders in the physical realm like Daniel did, and disobey them like Daniel did when they usurp God's authority in the spiritual realm. And if you don't know if there's a lion that's kind of difficult, pray and ask God for guidance. He will give it to him. With that, let us sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." That is what we want to do. We want God to take our life. We are ambassadors to God. We want to do everything obeying God, and that includes obeying the kings of this world as long as they remain in their ordained realm. When Israel failed miserably and the Assyrian captivity happened, the Assyrian kings did not turn to God. They did not honor God. Why? Israel was totally apostate. Nebuchadnezzar, on the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar got saved. You look at the record, I believe he's in heaven right now. Why? Because he had faithful men working under him, doing what God called them to do. They knew that they were there because God ordained that fact. And they remained faithful to God even in the face of judgment. And that caused those evil kings to turn. Do we want evil kings to turn in this country? Do we want our presidents, our governors, our mayors to turn to God? Then we need to do what God calls to do. If you want Nebuchadnezzar in this country, you have to act like Daniel. You don't act like the ones in Israel that tried to usurp authority back from the kings. You do what God told you to do. It's not easy to do. I'll tell you that right now. But you need to honor the kings that God gives us because God's the one who placed them there. And then pray for them that they will see the wisdom of following God, and pray for them that we can continue to worship in peace, that we may show the world exactly what a Christian is and put to silence foolish men. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And first of all, ask, are you an ambassador of Jesus Christ? You have to have immigrated to his society. Immigration papers are signed in his blood. If you're not covered by his blood, your sins have not been forgiven and you cannot be accepted there. So as we go to prayer, ask, have you ever accepted the free gift of the blood of Christ for the salvation of sins? And if you haven't, please come up while we're praying and I'll show you exactly from the Bible how to do that. And then ask yourself, am I following God's law? It's getting harder and harder to honor the kings that God puts over us because he's given them to us in judgment. But we need to do that so that we may continue to worship in peace, following the dictates of what the Bible says and following Jesus Christ regardless of what happens. And after Rich plays a verse, I'll close this in prayer. That it can happen so easily. Lord, we live in a fallen world. Why should we expect our leaders to be godly in all ways? But Lord, we pray for them. We lift them up. We ask that you would enlighten them. You would show them your light. You would show them your grace. You would make them successful as they seek your face. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to follow them when they remain in their ordained realms and have the wisdom to know that when they try to usurp your authority, we disobey them and allow you to give them the vengeance that they will deserve. And Lord, let us show the world what a Christian is. Once again, Lord, Rome was an evil place, and yet the people patiently obeyed, patiently went to the lions' dens, patiently went to the Colosseums, and showed the world that it was foolish to have the persecutions that we're having, and so many people got saved. Lord, let us today follow your leading, whatever it is. It's not easy, Lord, but we know that you'll give us the grace to do whatever it takes. Give us the grace to know when to obey. Give us the grace to know when to disobey. And give us the grace to let you speak through us, that your wisdom will come forth and people will see the wisdom of following Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go to eat, let us be thankful for the bounty that you give us. Let us be thankful to the people who prepare the food for us, and blessed to our body. We ask in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.